This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience, where we talk about building wealth through real estate. My name is Dick Girard, and my co-host is Pat Draw. So, Pat, world has changed a little bit in the last few weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, hey, here's an indication, right? Look, on my desk.
Yep.
My desk. Yeah,
you're ready.
In my pocket.
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, anybody with that has kids and their, you know, sports are all canceled and schools canceled or at least delayed for a couple weeks now. And it's just a crazy time right now. And the markets are just in panic mode, just like the rest of the country is. So let's just talk about that and about how you're feeling and your family. And, you know, we'll just kind of talk through this and kind of give our opinions on what we think, how you should navigate this market to, you know, we don't want to take advantage of a, you know, people's bad situation, you know, the people that get this virus and everything, but we can be strategic about it. And if we can, you know, work the markets in our favor, then we might as well do that.
Well, and I think so. I mean, you said that I think three times in the opening is it's panic, right? And that's, yep. I think that's the number one thing that we have to address right off the bat is people. And I'm not talking about, I have no knowledge that I can share with any kind of certainty about like the coronavirus and that type of thing. So when I say, you know, don't panic, I'm talking about don't panic about interest rates. First of all, if you hesitated, right? Or maybe you thought they were going to be lower, because I think that's a general sentiment. What's happening, what I'm seeing from a lot of people is that their idea is that the panic and fear across the globe of the economy, they think that's going to create these like ridiculously low interest rates, which it did for a short period of time, and still could. They still could come back. But there's so many other factors involved. I think that what happened, you know, with the rates and where they were and where they are now, nothing is normal, right? And that's what we've been talking about. I don't want to say daily. We've been talking about this like every hour or two. And it's not you and I having this conversation. It's you and a customer or you and another, you know, lender that you know, or you and a real estate agent that you know. I've had it with the conversation with, you know, people throughout the entire company, people with other companies, and we're all really in the same boat. And, you know, the one advice we have is this. We really can't give anybody right now any solid advice on what to do. All we can tell you is this, because we don't know. If you like the payment based on the rate that is available right now, then you probably should jump on it and not look back. That's the real advice.
Yeah.
Or take the chance and maybe it goes away forever.
So let's... For some people that don't follow it, I think sometimes we assume that everybody knows where the market is and where it's going and where it's been. But let's just talk a little bit about what's happened in the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So with this virus coming on and it really affected the stock market was kind of the first thing, right? And the stock market has gone down more than 20% now from its highs. And that's what the definition of a bear market is. So you got a bull market when it's running up and a bear market when it's coming down. And so we're officially in a bear market in the stock market, which we haven't had since I think 2008, you know, so it's been a long time since we've had stocks going down. You know, they have been going up for a long, long time. So that created for a short time when the stock market was going down, people pulling money out of that and putting it into bonds, which drove interest rates down a lot really fast, right? And then interest rates shot right back up. You know, they were down for, what was it? Four or five days? Was it 6-7 days or something like that?
It was a lot shorter than people think. How about that?
Right. It was real short. It didn't last long, and then it kind of went up a little bit, and then it shot up, and then it came down a little bit, and then it has really shot up now to even over where it was, you know, in January and December, you know? Yeah. So it's been a crazy time, but like you said, and I said at the beginning, it's really panic. People don't know what to do. And it's just like, I don't know what to do with my kids. You know, do we go out to dinner? Do we send them to school? Do we keep them home? We don't have enough information to really know the answers to those questions,
right?
Concerning this virus, right? So we're all guessing at things, and so are the markets. The markets are guessing, how is this going to affect things? You're looking at what's happened in China, what's happened in Italy, Italy has pretty much shut down. You know, they don't let people outside on the streets. So there's no restaurants, there's no theaters. And then, you know, you come here and now all the sports have stopped, all the Broadway shows, Disneyland's shut down, everything is shutting down. That's going to have effect on all these companies' earnings. So the stocks are going to come down, right? Uh-huh. So how long is this going to last?
Who knows?
Right. I don't know. You don't know. The smartest people in the world, they don't know, you know. Right. And if they do know, they're not telling us. So this could last, you know, this could be over. And, you know, I've heard people on TV and the radio, and I don't know if they're right. I don't even know, you know, what their qualifications are. You know, they're saying 5 to 6 weeks it could be over, and it could last, you know, a year or two. So how do you invest or think about interest rates when we don't know if this thing's going to last 3 weeks or 2 years?
Well, I mean, part of the problem, and you know this, I know this, I think most people know it when they realistically think about it, but it's, there's a panic from the thought of the disease, right? And that is understandable because it's the unknown, and that's what people fear. We all fear the unknown.
Right.
For the most part.
And especially the markets fear unknown.
Well,
they'd rather know things are going to be bad than we don't know what things are going to be.
Right. But so there's twofold, right? Because think about the scenario you just said. You're right. There is the unknown, which the markets don't like, but there's also the repercussions of what the disease is creating,
right?
Or the virus is creating in the economy that is also anticipated. Right. I mean, think about you just mentioned Italy. I mean, think about Italy's economy. If your restaurants are all shut down, your theaters are all shut down, people can't go to work, nothing is flowing. So there's no money flowing for the economy at all whatsoever,
yep.
At least not enough to make it fly. So what happens is that, you know, everybody loses. And yep. So that flood or that same flow at this point is anticipated to come to America. Right.
Yep.
I mean, we obviously, I don't think Italy is a great exporter of goods to the United States. However, China is, and that's a big problem. You know, so I mean, it was interesting. Were we talking about this or I hear it somewhere else? But I think it was you and I. I mean, think about like all the production on like the cell phones for like Apple and the cell phones, the computers, the electronics that's going on in China that's halted right now. So, I mean, the impact to us, we haven't even seen it because everything that we're still buying and selling, everything is still on our shelves of the stores and the retail outlets. That was made years, you know, a year ago.
Right.
So it's that impact is going to carry over to our economy,
right?
You know, come later this year and into next. Yep.
Yeah. And we talked about it earlier. You know, I've been to the grocery store and I mean, the whole toilet paper thing, you know, everybody's got, you know, grocery carts worth of toilet paper, you know, everybody's kind of making fun of people, but it's when people panic, you know, but I went to the grocery store and it wasn't just toilet paper. It was canned goods. It was fruits and vegetables,
and
meats. And yeah, I mean, everything is kind of getting like in here in Colorado, it happens when, okay, there's going to be a big storm where you might be locked in. You go and you know, the shelves are kind of empty, you know, for a little while. And then they get filled right back up. And, you know, I did hear somebody this morning saying that was a supply chain expert that said, we don't have to worry about our food supply and stuff. That can be, you know, we can handle that here by supplying our own food. Now, you might not get some of the foods that we get from China and some of these other places that we actually get food from some of these other countries, but we can actually sustain ourselves with food. But like he was talking about computers, medicines, some machinery and stuff like that for automobiles, things like that. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that are essentials that we need to run our society that are going to be delayed or not, we're not going to be able to get. So those kinds of things are going to affect the way we live 3, 6, 8, 10 months from now, you know? So, and that's going to affect the economy. It's going to affect how much money you spend, you know?
So it's interesting. I had a bunch of out of office appointments yesterday, not a bunch, I had three, and they were spaced horribly apart. So it was one of those things where, you know, they were time-wise was at the wrong spot and the other side, they're different sides of town. So point is that I spent a lot of time in the car, a lot of downtime in the car while I was on the phone and stuff like that. But I started listening to all these different experts and what, you know, on the virus itself, just because that's what's really impacting everything.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I want to know more about it. You know, I've got kids in college, got kids out of college, I got kids in high school, you know, I got friends, I got family members all over the state. So I want to know more about what's going on. And it was interesting because one guy who was he was almost like, he called himself a disease or a virus detective for the World Health Organization. It was interesting because he said, the problem we have with the virus and the time and the unknown, which is why I'm bringing this up, is that everybody's preparing for this like it's a blizzard. You know, we're going out, we're stocking up our shelves in our house and that type of thing. And he goes, like,
last we for have 4 days, right? Right.
Right. Yeah. And he goes, that's not what it is. He goes, this is more like a winter, right? Right. So we need to be looking at it more like this is a season that could last, you know, 3, 4, 5, even 6 months before we even have a handle on it. And that doesn't mean it's going to go away. It doesn't mean we're going to fix it. Doesn't mean it even mean things are going to go back to normal. It just means at that point in time, maybe we know enough to have a much better plan. Because even the plans that are being made across the country or across the world are still maybe not even the right plans.
Right.
You know, like he was talking a lot about, and I think you and I talked about this too. We seem to talk about everything, but you know, stopping kids from going to school, you know, when the kids aren't even, you know, the younger generation isn't the one that's really as impacted, you know, but they're the ones bringing it home or bringing it out to everybody else because they still are carriers, even though maybe it's not affecting, you know, it's like 1 or 2% of kids under a certain age are even affected by it. But it was, you know, he's like, we're making all these decisions to do different things. But the truth is, we didn't even know if that makes a difference. It might not even make a difference. I mean, all the things that we think we're doing right to stop the spread of it may not even make a difference.
Well, and I've heard the theory too. Well, because it's winter time, that's kind of flu season. And when it gets to be the summer, that's going to kill the virus and it's going to be, everything's going to be fine. Well, I heard somebody this morning, and it was one of the heads of the CDC or one of those organizations or used to be there or something. And he was saying that there are some flus in other countries. I think he was talking about Africa or you know, that are warm, that there is no flu season. You just get the flu all year round. So there are some of these strains of coronavirus that the weather does not affect them. So everybody's kind of hoping, oh, it's going to be a couple weeks and then it's going to warm up and everything's going to go away. And he was saying that might not be the case.
This didn't start in a country that was cold.
Right.
I mean, don't you think there's all these people coming from cruises? They weren't cruising from Alaska or from the Antarctic. They were cruising from the tropics, right?
But the point is, I don't even think we know. You know, he doesn't know. He was just saying, I'm not sure. It could be that this one does slow down during the summer months, you know, but it might not, you know.
Well, and that's what that guy was saying.
That's the point. That's the point.
That's kind of what the guy I was talking about was saying is he was referencing the fact that we don't know what, even we don't know.
Right.
And this is, I've spent my whole career digging into all these, you know, these major, disease type pieces that could have impacted on full,
epidemics societies. And the pandemics. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And he goes, and I don't know. He goes, so how in the world are all these people that are making these judgments? He goes, I hear some of the things where the other day I heard somebody say, just wash your hands and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't think that's the case.
Right.
But I don't know.
Right. It could be. Yeah. Well, and you know, this is we had the SARS back then, but that one you couldn't get by in the air. It wasn't transmitted in the air. It had to be like blood or something like that. And it's like, but who knows? Everybody's speculating with all these things, and it's not necessarily, and you don't really know until after people start dying and people start really getting the diseases. And then you go look back and say, okay, these were the people that were affected. We need to know that before it's happening. Right. And we're not getting all that information from some of these other countries and stuff too. So it's an interesting time, but it's a very, it's a different time, you know, where this is not like 2008, which was a financial crisis.
Right.
This is a financial crisis that's caused by some outside thing. It wasn't caused by something, you know, financial instruments that were, you know, that were undermining the economy, you know, like it was in 2008. This is a virus that's going to slow the economy, that's going to, so once we get rid of that, the finances, you know, the banks are well positioned right now. They're well capitalized. They're not going to go under because of this, like they almost did in 2008 because of some of the things that they were doing. So the fear, we don't have to worry about financial collapse, but we could have societal collapse with, you know, not enough hospital beds, not enough of those kinds of things, you know. So it's a whole different deal. The finances are following the speculation on what's going to happen with the virus. And that's something that we, you know, I've been watching the markets for a long time, you know, 30 years, and it's a different thing that's happening right now with, and it's a global thing too. It's not just the United States. It's not just Greece or not just Italy or not just China. This is a global thing that is going to affect everybody in the world at some point.
Right. Well, let's talk about, I chuckle because as we say this, I've seen deteriorating market conditions earlier, and then now we got improving market conditions, which is, so the timing is great because I was just about ready to say that. Let's talk about strategy, because, you know, getting away from what the fear of the unknown and getting away from what we're really not experts at. And let's talk about strategy on how you can actually take advantage of just some of the things that are going on out there to put them to work for you to build wealth, because you've got a number of different things. And we could point to, you know, historically low interest rates, not now, right? Not this second, but what was, and very well what could be back, right? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how, like, maybe what the markets are like and why rates aren't necessarily where people think they are, right? They're not as good currently because of certain factors. And then the other thing would be, let's talk about the ability to take advantage of some of this stuff and really almost dollar cost average or double down on what you're doing to what, you know, that would could make you a lot more money down the road. Because Believe it or not, a bear market's not a bad thing. It's almost like a forest fire, right? Where it comes in and cleans up all the stuff to allow serious new growth. And it puts out an incredible opportunity for people if they're paying attention and then putting their mind to work in terms of doing the right things with those types of situations.
Yeah, I always use the analogy, you know, markets need, you need to breathe out and you need to breathe in, right? If you're always just breathing in and everything's going up, you die, right? You have to have that extra. That's where bubbles are created, you know, where you just, you're putting air into something and you never let it come back. It bursts at some point, you know? So you have, it is a healthy thing for markets to come down once in a while. Now, so obviously we don't want them to come down so hard, so fast. That ruins a lot of people. So there's a lot of people that do the wrong thing during this.
Well, and I think your background is great to talk about this. And this is why I wanted to kind of, okay, let's focus on what you're saying right now, because here's a big piece to it, right? Usually when the market comes down, there are financial factors involved that are creating it to come down. So you may not see the opportunity to come back as quickly. And we do, again, we don't know, right? We don't know that's the case. But based on what we're already saying, that this isn't necessarily a financial. It's like it's not. There's not any underlying financial piece yet that's causing the market to be where it's at. What opportunity does this present to somebody that's sitting there and they're not trying to, you know, they're not worried about retiring in the next 10 or 15 years as much as just going, what do I do? What can I do with interest rates being low? What can I do with the market being where it's at? You know, real estate being in its, you know, current landscape, that type of thing. What can I do?
All right. So let's just, let me share my screen here. I want to just show a little perspective here on kind of what the stock market has done here.
Let the talk it through for anybody who's not watching and just listening, right?
Yep. Yep. And we can always send you these charts too, if you want them to. So if you want to just text the word charts to 720-650-6440, I will send you a copy of these charts. But this is the stock market, the S&P 500, since, let's see, this is back 2015. So you can see it's been kind of going up, a little trouble here, but it's basically gone up and up and up. But look at what it's done right here, you know, in the last week. You know, it has come down to levels that we haven't seen, you know, in a couple of years, you know. So it and this was just a short dip here, you know. So this just kind of shows you how much wealth was lost. It was, you know, at 3,400 and now it's at 2,400. So it's gone down, you know, a tremendous amount, more than 20%. And is it going to come right back? You know, I don't think it is, but it could. But with the underlying problems with companies in the next year because of what this virus is going to do, I think that we're looking at a new normal here, and this could be where the stock market stays, or it could come down to these levels. You know, that's the thing. Let's take a quick look at mortgage backed securities. So this is just for the last quarter. So this is the last week. This is when the stock market started going down, and as you can see, you know, interest. So when this goes up, that means interest rates go down. So interest rates have been coming down here, and then it went way down right here. And then it started going back up, 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 up. And now we're back to levels that we were at in, you know, the end of January, early February, you know. So
yeah, that's all in a couple of days. I mean, that's right.
4 days. Yep. Yeah. It went from the lowest interest rates we've ever seen in history to back up to, you know, where we were. And we look at the 10-year treasury, because that is loosely, the interest rates, mortgage rates are loosely based on, or they kind of follow the 10-year treasury. But as you can, and this is the rates of the 10-year treasury. So when this goes down, that means rates are down. But the lowest the 10-year treasury had ever been in history was this level at 1.38. And as you can see, it went down all the way and touched, you know, 1.3 something. Not 1.3, 0.3. So that's the lowest the 10-year treasury has ever been in the history of the 10-year treasury by a full point in interest rate. So that is historic stuff. And I think that that's what people need to realize. This isn't just, oh, interest rates are down. This is stuff that we've never seen before. And as you can see, you know, things are going are coming back up. But there's just a lot of things that are going on right now. To just give you a little perspective on kind of where where things have gone in the last couple weeks. And this isn't over. You know, this panic isn't over. It's really kind of just starting here in the United States, right? We don't know what this virus is going to do, but I think the panic is going, there's a lot of people that weren't even thinking about this 2 days ago. And they were thinking, it's no big, they've heard about it, but just like you said, just wash your hands, you'll be fine, you know? Right. Well, 2 weeks from now, those same people might be scared to death to go out of their house, you know, or might not even be allowed to go out of your house. You know, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen here, but like you said before, I think we have to be, you have to be ready to take advantage of these markets. And specifically talking about your home and your mortgage, you know, if you are, you know, anywhere over 4% in your interest rate, I think you should be looking at being ready when rates do come down again. They're probably over that now, but if they do come down, be ready with an application already ready to go. And so when rates do dip really quickly, we can lock you in and you can be ready to go and we can have it all worked out. Like, hey, we want to get 3.75 or we want to get 3.5 or we want to get 3%, whatever that rate is that you're kind of looking to target. You know, we need to be ready to take advantage of that, because I do believe that rates, the government, how are they going to handle this? You know, they're talking about stimulus, the Fed's going to pour trillions of dollars into this. How do they do that? They go in, they buy these securities, they buy the 10-year treasury, they buy the mortgage-backed securities. And what does that do? When you're buying a lot of things, it will bring those interest rates down.
Well, so let's talk about that, right? Because I think I still saw on the news, even yesterday, something about, you know, mortgage rates being hit at historic lows, and they're not right now.
Right.
They're not even close. I mean, they're literally over a point higher currently than they were just 3 days ago. So I mean, it went up drastically, extremely fast. And I've seen this before a couple times in my career. One of which, they never came back. It changed the industry, you know, and that was in 2007.
Right.
I mean, I think it was July of 2007. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yep.
But just because it hurt so bad. Right. But I don't think necessarily that this is the same case. Like I said, the underlying thing here is more fear, right. And it's not, at this point, it's not as financial as it is fear, but there are financial ramifications that are setting in currently. Yep. So yeah, there's a thought process there that maybe, or at least I shouldn't say maybe, there's a thought process that rates should come back around. Will they get down to, let's say, 3 or 3.125 on a 30-year fixed again, or below, or whatever was out there? We don't know. So I think we should talk about that, because there's a lot of people who are waiting for the bottom, you know? And I had a gentleman a friend of mine that called me the other day to do a refi, and his words were perfect, because I'm really careful about giving advice right now, because I don't know. And so I don't want to see like, oh, they're going to come back down, and then they don't, because I don't know.
Right.
Yes, they should. They should come back down, but they could also just easily go up to, by 4 more percent. I don't know.
But they really should be lower than they are now. When the stock market sells off like it has, mortgage rates usually go down with the stock market, and right. they haven't in the last 5 days. The stock market has gotten killed and come down, and mortgage rates have shot up. And we can talk about that a little bit too, but finish your story.
So I think the one thing, and here's what the guy said, because I said, here's what the rate is today. You know, and this guy's in the banking world, so he's intelligent. He knows what he's talking about. And he said, hey, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Even if the rate goes back another 0.375, it only changes my payment by $60. However, I also know how fast things can move. I could be paying $150 more to do this. So just lock it in. Right. And strangely enough, the rates have gone up just since the other day when he said that, because I was like, thank you for saying that, because I've got a lot of the opposite lately. I said, all right, good. Let's lock it in. Here it is. I'll lock it while you're on the phone. Boom, you're done. Guess what? They're a point higher today.
Yeah.
just from well, 3 days ago.
And I think you have to change your mentality a little bit, because I have people that are saving $500, one person saving over $1,000, but I have a lot of people that were saving $400 or $500 a month. And then they were, gosh, I want to get 3.25 instead of 3.375, you know, and they are just, but they're focused on rate. And I just want to get that little bit lower, where you're saving $475 and that extra little bit would save you another $20, you know? And it's like, just like you said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Take the $475 and save the money, because a lot of people that didn't act, now they can't save that $475, you know? Now they can't save anything. So you just lost that four, because you were trying to get that little bit lower rate. I'm trying to get into the twos. I'm trying to get 3% or whatever. So there's a lot of people on Wall Street that can't pick bottoms of the market. It is, you're just lucky if you pick the bottom of the market.
Lot's not the right
it's
word.
It's not skill.
Every one of them can't pick the bottom.
That's right. You can't
pick the bottom. Anybody that manages to pick the bottom, they just retire because they're so wealthy. So yeah, the people that lucked out and got the bottom, they're retired. The rest of them are still out there trying to figure it out.
That's right. You can't pick tops and you can't pick bottoms. Nope. And you have to look at trends. And when the interest rates are trending down, you've got to take advantage of them, because it's going to change at some point, you know?
Well, it's interesting. I had a person I talked to who really honestly didn't have a ton of knowledge, but he said it, you know, in terms of like how the markets work, but he was older, right? And he had a lot of experience just in life. And he said, which I thought was pretty interesting, he said, things bounce off the floor and things bounce off the ceiling. You know, they float a lot slower in the middle. So what happens is maybe you do see the bottom, but it hits and bounces and it goes the other way really quick. You know, whether you're trying to time the top of a stock and, you know, get out at the last minute before it goes down, or whether you're trying to, you know, time the bottom of a market to try and take advantage of the lowest interest rate, that's exactly what happens. You know, drop a ball, ba-doing, hit the ceiling, ta-ting, come off, whatever, you know, the drill. It just changes quick. And so I think that you know, looking forward, we do feel that there is going to be another opportunity.
Yep.
I don't know if that's true or not. We feel that way, right?
Let's just talk about why we feel that way. When we have a bad economy, right? High interest rates will make it worse, right?
Right. Right.
So if we all agree that this virus thing is going to cause a slowdown in the economy, it's just absolutely going to. Because
that is absolutely guaranteed.
Right. Because people are going to not go out. They're not going to go to those rest. Well, they can't. They can't go to an NBA game. They can't go to an NHL game. They can't go to spring training. They physically can't spend their money on some of those things. Right. So the economy is going to come down. If and let's throw in the elect. It's an election year. Right.
Right.
So you got that going on, too.
A lot going on. Reason. Yeah.
Right. So but if the economy slows, what they do to spur the economy is lower interest rates, however they can do that. And that's why we believe that interest rates are going to stay. They might not come down to the historic levels or the bottom or the floor, but they're going to come back down because they're going to have to stimulate the economy a little bit. So that's the reason that we say that we're pretty sure that it's good. Now, they might not, you know. I mean, this is a new time. This is something that we've never seen before. So but that's the reasons that we have that we think that interest rates are going to come back down, because a slowing economy can't handle higher interest rates.
So let's take that one step further, because that what you're saying there, that's our belief, and that's been our belief since we've been in the business.
Right.
However, here is the flip side of that, because there's a lot of people out there that do have knowledge, right? And they're gauging the fact that rates are going to be lower based on just the stock market, you know, the stock market or the treasuries or whatever.
Right.
And they're thinking, oh, they're going to be lower.
Right.
Let's talk about the other side, because this is a whole nother thing that nobody even probably from the outside even knows is going on. The mortgage industry, not company, or not companies, the industry in general. Banks, mortgage companies, heck, title companies, appraisers, anybody that has anything to do with mortgages are not just at capacity, they are well beyond capacity, well beyond. So, I mean, there are mortgage companies that have shut off taking any new loans. There are a lot of companies that have shut off taking any refinance loans because they can't close what they have by July.
That's right.
Right? So you also
that's
have
a whole nother yeah, that's a whole nother thing on right. top of what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And there, I mean, there are some banks that we always watch rates because we watch what rates are. We want to make sure our rates are competitive across the board. Right. So we're constantly watching what our, you know, what other competitors, so to speak, are doing. And for the last week, there have been banks that just raised their rate a point or a point and a half just to stop applications.
Right. Not because of the mark, not because right. of where mortgage backed securities were or where the stock market was. They just rose it because they could not handle any more business.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, you definitely have that along with everything else. But once that capacity rolls through, then rates are going to slowly come back to where they should be. And then they might go lower because of the markets or whatever else we're talking about. But yeah, there's a lot of factors. This would be really easy if it was just, okay, look at a chart and it goes this, then that, if this happens, then that happens. That would be easy, but there's 7,000 things that go into where mortgage rates are. And it's impossible to predict all 7,000, especially in times like these.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring that up, because that's right. probably the most common question I have.
Very.
That's the leading indicator of a lot of people who watch the markets,
right?
And they're waiting on rates.
I had that three times this morning. Why are rates going up? You know, it's like they should be down. You know,
we deal with that people that actually are financial professionals. I'm not talking about other mortgage people. I'm talking about people that are financial advisors. They're traders. They work at some of the big clearinghouses, whatever. These guys know the markets. They watch them all day, every day. It's their job.
Right.
And they're even going, can I get 2.5% yet?
Right.
No. Double it. Right.
You can't even get 4.5%. Right.
Yeah. Right. It's just like, no, that's not where it is. So when you're out there and you're making a decision and you're thinking, oh, well, the stock market's down, that means rates are going to be super low, so I'll just keep waiting this out.
Right.
There's so many other things that are going into it right now. You are right 8 times out of 10 over the course of a 10-year period. That's going to ring true. But we're in that period now where it doesn't.
Well, and let's go back to this is something that always bothers me and something you said just a minute ago. They're saying that we've historic interest rates, right? Well, what and even if you're listening to the business channels, you know, that are supposed to be on top of this stuff, they're quoting Freddie or Fannie Mae's, you know, average interest rate for last week. You know, these are last week's, they're not up to date. And in this time where our rate sheets can change hour to hour, I mean, we can change, rates can change 7 times in one day, and they're quoting last week's rates. And they're quoting them without any of the adjustments that we have to make it your rate, you know, with credit score and loan to value and all those other things. Yeah. So they're doing the bottom of the barrel rate that nobody can get without paying for it. And they're quoting last week's rates. So you've got to be careful on what you're hearing. And then, of course, commercials and stuff like that, some of those were done 2 months ago, you know, and we have the best rates ever and historic low rates, and we can get you a 1% interest rate. You know, you don't know that that costs you 5 points and it's a 1 year arm that nobody would ever do, you know? So there's a lot of things that go into this, but what you want to do is look at trends. And if you would like us to take a look at your mortgage and just see where we think you could benefit, you know, when rates get to a certain level, you know, just send us a text. Text the word REFI, REFI, to 720-650-6440, and we'd be happy to set up a call to talk about, you know, what we think, get your story and get your where your rates are and all that, and then kind of go from there, and just put a strategy together so you're ready to take advantage. It's kind of like buying a house, right? You got to have your finances and everything all ready to go. So when you find that perfect house, you can jump on it right away. And that's how we have to think about interest rates. Okay, they might not be where we want them right now, but this is such a volatile market. We've got to be ready with everything, all our paperwork ready to go. And then boom, we can jump on it and close that when rates do hit where they need to be.
Let's address one more thing, because this is the unknown factor that you and I deal with. And anybody else in the industry deals with, is that there's also the internal pressure from the lenders that can't handle the volume.
Right.
And that's, I mean, thankfully for us, we're large, and that's not an issue for us. However, there still is the pressure that it puts on the system, where internally these companies across the board have been artificially raising rates to slow down the incoming applications.
Right.
And that's happened industry wide. That's not like, well, this company raised their rates and this one did, they can't handle it.
Everybody did.
Yep, everybody did it. Because for two reasons. One, because the volume was, like I said, it was otherworldly and nobody's at the capacity even close to handle it. So that's one of it. But the other thing is this, is that the amount of volatility that's in there, everybody is leaving a lot of cushion because of how fast things are changing, because there is so much volume. They can't move fast. So what it's doing is it's like not anticipating the fact that there's an iceberg right in the middle of the ocean, and you're the captain of the Titanic, and you think, oh, and then all of a sudden you see it and you got to turn it around. You're not turning it around. And that's what the back end systems of mortgage lenders and banks are dealing with right now. Because if they don't anticipate moves, and we already talked for 20 minutes plus about how nobody knows what the heck is going on and how to anticipate anything, they can't anticipate these moves, so they have to leave a cushion in their pricing model to be able to absorb the movements as quick as they're happening. And if they don't, they'll go out of business. So anybody that tells you, well, we didn't do that, well, then they're going to be out of business. It's just an absolute, almost positive.
And what's amazing is there are going to be mortgage companies that will go out of business during this time where it's unbelievable volumes, you know, and you wouldn't think that would be the case, but it's when markets move, you know, and you're locking, you know, $100 million worth of loans, you know, it's you can be on the wrong side of those trades, you know, and it could put a lot of people out of business for sure. And, you know, I mean, we could talk about how loans are being priced right now for probably 8 hours and not get to everything, because there's another thing that I'll just mention, we won't go into right now, but when we were servicing loans, you know, you have to have that loan for 3 to 5 years before it starts really making money for you. And now when all these loans are being paid off that we did 6 months ago or a year ago, now a lot of mortgage companies are losing money on that servicing side and now having to redo those loans. So there's a lot of things that go, so they have to make up those losses on these new loans. So there's a lot of things that go into where those interest rates are and how mortgage companies make their money. And we have to be sure that we don't put mortgage companies out of business too. You know, we need a lot of mortgage companies to be able to have a good market. We need the banks to not fail. You know, we need a very good financial system in place that can handle these volatile times. So you have to understand that it's not just about, you know, getting a 2% interest rate, but it's you know, interest rates have never been that low. Our average interest rate for for history is 6.5-7%. You know, so why are we arguing about 3.5% or 3.25%? It's still well below the average, and we should be jumping on those. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. So I had a guy that he used to be a commodities trader, and he was so he knows the markets and stuff, and but he was talking to his dad, and it was like, okay, we were going to get him, you know, in the low threes. And he was like, well, I'm not sure. What do you think? You know? And I'm like, hey, I think we should lock it in here, you know, because you just don't know where things are going to be. And this was a purchase. So he's buying something. So he needed to lock in. We can't just float him for the rest, you know, for the rest of the time. And he talked to his dad, and his dad was like, are you an idiot? You know, three, you know, in the low threes, he's like, don't, it was kind of like that. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, you know, take it. He's like, he couldn't believe that I was getting that kind of interest rate, you know? And because his dad probably was telling him about 10% interest rates, you know, back in the day, you know? Yeah. So it's, we have to really realize in history kind of where we are too. These are historic times. So let's make the right decisions here. And the right decision is, if you can save money, you know, we want to try to build wealth here. So the more money you can save, the more wealth you can build. And the more buying power you have when interest rates are low, the more house you can buy. So take advantage of these times.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's, we've talked about a lot of things now, and you know, I just want to, you know, send my thoughts and prayers out to everybody, and that all your families are safe, and that we can, you know, all get through this as a country and as a world to really find a cure for this stuff and get back to normal, because it's definitely not normal right now, and I think we have to. We have to realize that and really help each other out the best we can. And there's a lot of people that are going to be affected tremendously by, you know, you think about the person at the concession stand at the arenas that aren't going to be being paid, you know, for the next maybe 5 months, you know, so we've got to help each other out and get through this time. And, you know, I just hope we come together as a country instead of splitting apart.
Yep, absolutely. Good send-off, Dick.
All right. Well, good luck, and we will be back next week.
Take care.